Books to number 55. That's our song of invitation that Mark will lead in just a little while when the sermon finally gets done. If you're visiting with us, don't despair. I'm not the normal preacher. Craig is on vacation this week, and also once a month we get to try out someone new in the pulpit. One of our men get up here and do that job, and so a lot fell to me. I'm yours today. Hopefully I'll give you something that will benefit you. I mean, that's what we're here to do, is to build each other up and strengthen one another and have an opportunity to deepen our faith and get closer to God in our walk, to do something that matters, that helps us, strengthens us. And so I've chosen a topic that I've always wondered about. What do we attribute to God? What do we attribute to just the normal course of happenstance or occasion? Providence, right? The providence of God. I think many years ago we had actually a Bible study on this topic, the providence of God. It was a workbook that covered it a lot better than I'm going to, but hopefully what I do bring to you helps you understand a little closer, maybe a little better, God's role, our role. What we can say is providence of God, that's attributed to God, and what just is normal, right? But I guess, so for what people ask this question, and sometimes when we're in straits, we're in dire straits, we'll ask the same question: does God care? Maybe something's going on that's a little rough. Maybe something's going on that's hard on us, and we think, with a little bit of victim mentality, why me, or does God care? Does God care? Why am I going through this? That's a question that's always hard to answer. Why, right? So the answer is yes. Does God care? Of course he does. Absolutely. And we're around the Lord's Supper, right? We think about what God has done for mankind. It's a rhetorical question that we absolutely answer as Christians. Yes, absolutely, God cares. God cares about us, the pinnacle of his creation. He cares about even the birds. So I've taken a little liberty from the way Ron preaches and put the scriptures on the board for you, because this sermon has a lot of scriptures in it. So if you would like to turn your Bibles to these verses, more power to you, but I'll list them on the board for you to read right along with me. The first one's from Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not as beautiful as the lilies, like one of these." So in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about God's care. God's care for what we take for granted, the birds of the air, the lilies in the pond. God cares for those. Right? And then so he asks a rhetorical question. If he takes care of those little things, won't he care much more for you? The answer, of course, is yes. Of course he will, right? Okay. Continuing on in that chapter, let's keep reading. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God will take care of our needs. Like he's demonstrated that from the beginning of time, that this earth has continued to where it is today. If he's able to sustain the earth, the universe, it's a very small thing to take care of our needs, right? So some of those things that we've just recognized are not really supernatural or miraculous. That's just what God has set in motion, right? He continues to sustain and uphold, maintain this physical realm that we enjoy living in, right? Okay, so what does that providence word mean? And if you break it down and you define it, you think about some of the synonyms or some of the things that contribute to that word, provide, right? Providor. But the word really means something like forethought or foresight. It's something that someone's taken pains to think about and to provide, right? There's that preparation, there's that care, there's that attention to that makes a difference. And from God's perspective, since He's the provider, He's taken care, He's taken thought about what He is going to provide, right? So some things that are miraculous or supernatural, they can be attributed to God as well, right? Along with those things that are the natural course of what we see and have. Okay? Make sense? Yeah? Okay. So there's more scriptures to read, right? Psalms 104 and verse 14 says, "You cause," the role of provider, "you cause the grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth." 135 and verses 5 through 7, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps, he it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses." Acts chapter 14. Let's get a New Testament scripture in there. Verse 17. "Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." So let's call that generic providence. Let's say that that's something that God just provides as what he does. It's easy for us to take that for granted, right? That the crops are going to be in the ground and the crops are going to produce and that the rains are going to come at the appropriate time and all those things kind of work together for good. General providence. Natural order of things. Never really stop and think about that power that's behind that care and forethought, right? We can't change the weather. With man and all of his power, we can't make it rain somewhere and not over there. We can't stop a hurricane, right? We can't stop a tornado. Things that come about, that's part of the natural progression of how things work with weather patterns, man doesn't have any power over, right? God does. Absolutely. So the animal world. We're back in Psalms 104, looking at verses 21 through 29. And this is interesting. We often stop and think about, well, how does that bird know how to do that? Or what about earthworm or that centipede? Or you just think about how all these things work together for good. The circle of life, how the lion eats gazelles, and the gazelle's stuck with eating grass. That's what they know, right? It's what they do. Psalms 104, 21 through 29 says, "The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from the provider, from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, in things both small and great. There goes the ships and the Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Interesting, right? That kind of dictates who's in charge, who's going to be the provider, right? So you think about salmon, how they go back upstream to the river where they were born to spawn again. Or hummingbirds fly across from Mexico to up in here to migrate. Geese, how they know where to go, right? So many instincts that we see at work in the animal kingdom, we think, how'd that get there? Well, God put it there, right? Okay. So the question for us is, aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that we have this all-powerful, all-knowing God who's busy, who doesn't get too tired, who loses interest in the business at hand, right? I'm glad. I'm thankful that God pays attention. He's strong enough to provide everything that we see and are. Matthew 6 again. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? So God knows, that all-knowing aspect of God. He knows about every bird. If he cares enough to know about birds and is concerned about birds to make sure they eat, are we of more value than a bird? Absolutely. All day, every day, right? Job chapter 12, verse 23. He makes nations great, and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. Daniel 2, verse 21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says, so that you may be sons of your Father, who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So, if we're living in an unjust land or in a bad place, God's still taking care of Bloomington, Indiana. That care for the universe is still there, right? That's a good point to remember. And the power that he has over this government and every government in the world. Okay. So this next slide talks about a special providence. So there is a special and particular care that God has that he exercises on behalf of those who are submitting their wills to his. That's kind of where this was going. Those whose will are in harmony with his, right? So let's read Psalms 37:23 together. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when, condition, he delights in his way. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. I think we already read Matthew 6:33. Let's read it again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then one of my favorites, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that those who love God, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Okay. This is God in charge again, and still, right? So, I know you're probably thinking, well, okay, it doesn't always go good. We're getting into that, right? Life is not always good. Some things happen. to me in my life, in my family, right? We're getting there. We're getting there. But there is a special providence. There is a special care that God provides over those children of His. Right? Now, when you read Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you think, everything is good. Read it again with me. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. So when God's talking about us, what does He want for us? Does it matter to Him that we have or don't have things in this world? He makes sure that we have what we need, right? Seems to me, from what I can read and what I've seen and what I've learned, is that God cares a lot more about our soul than He does having a really good time here on earth. Yeah? The focus from God is spiritual, right? And we'll read that in Romans chapter 5 in just a minute. It's just something for us to keep in mind, that just because things work together for good doesn't mean it's always a good time. Does that make sense? All right, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Okay, that's a little tough one, rejoicing in our sufferings. Why? Why can we, or how can we rejoice in our sufferings? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That helps us understand, right? That helps us understand that when we're in a rough time, is God causing those things to work together for good? Yes. James 1, verses 2 through 4. We've heard this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Tough water, right? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, God can allow things in our lives that will benefit us. We don't see that. We don't understand that sometimes. And that's okay. That's where our faith comes in. I may not understand, Lord, why this is in front of me and in my life, but I know You care for me, and I know that You're trying to have things work out, or You will make things work out for my betterment, for my good, for my spiritual growth, right? So our faith in Him is, since He's an all-knowing and all-powerful God, we can trust Him, right? Don't let those things that are not so positive affect our faith, right? Easy to say, a little harder to do, but that's our challenge, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 says, Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. So if we believe that God is going to cause things to work out for our ultimate good, and it's a spiritual benefit to us, we can rest in that premise. We can depend on that. Right? Good. So, what happens? What's our normal inclination? It's not my fault. It's got to be someone else's. Right? We're going to blame someone, something else. So, that can work toward the favorable things that happen and sometimes to the negative things that happen. Maybe we credit God with something that's just the natural order of things. Maybe we blame God for something that's bad or negative in our lives. So some things are brought about around us by someone else. Who's at work in this world? Satan. Yeah, right? Be sober-minded. This is 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, enemy, antagonist, someone who doesn't want you to succeed or have something good. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So we can't blame God for everything that goes wrong in our lives. That'd be a mistake, right? Some things are the result of what Satan does, right? Remember Job? Who was the cause of Job's ills? Satan was at work there. Okay. Other men. I mean, we're surrounded by people. Other people can cause us trouble. Think of the drunk driver or the mean boss or a bad neighbor or someone going on a shooting rampage. The list can go on and on, can't it? Men do stupid things and men do evil things. Sometimes we are caught up in that coincidental. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Go to verses like this and ideas like this to help us through the tough times and lean on God's special providence and lean on each other and understand and appreciate how this love brings us through, how this faith is what we stand on, right? It helps us overcome those evil things. Okay. Does man have a part in this? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." You say, well, where'd that come from? Right? 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So the promise of God's care doesn't mean that we need not take action. We need to pray and we need to work, right? Okay. All right. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God has his work to do. We have our work to do, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Okay, so is it getting easier for us to see what things happen providentially and what things happen as a coincidence or the normal course? Maybe. Sometimes we can still not know, and that's okay. That's okay. We don't have to know everything. We want to, right? We don't have to. Okay. So, some, and I put myself in this category, that when bad things happen, well, that person deserved it, right? Or something good happened to that person, again, that person deserved it. Yeah. Is it happenstance? Is it coincidental? Is it meant to be something that should have happened? Yeah. There's a lot of exceptions to both rules, right? When God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust are benefiting from that normal course of things that happen, right? We can't explain Job or the first century Christians as bad, but bad things happen to them, right? Absolutely. We're good and righteous people, and bad things happen to good and righteous people, just like bad things happen to unjust and unrighteous people, right? We don't have to always say, well, that's God. We have to. You can give God the credit and the glory for the good things that happen in our life. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Because God deserves praise for the good things that he does for us, right? James teaches us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We got to understand that. Just leave room for what God is doing. Let's help. We can easily misread what happens and attribute it to something that may not be. We can come to the wrong conclusion, right? Yeah. Okay. So what do we do? Let's look at examples. I always fall back to that because there's plenty. What did Mordecai say? What did Paul say? What did they do? Did they always chalk it up to some or another? Esther 4:14. We've read this before and we think about this. You know the story where Esther is the queen now, right? Mordecai is her cousin. And now the Jews need deliverance. Haman is at work. Someone evil is at work and wants to destroy the Jews. Esther is the queen, and she is a Jew. Mordecai, her cousin, is saying, hey, I wonder why you're a queen. Maybe, let's read it. Esther 4:14 says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Was he presuming to know that God put her in that place for this reason? No, he said, we don't know. But take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you to do something good. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, this is Paul. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. And Acts chapter 18, verse 21. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. These men were not whittling on God's stick. These men were not sitting in God's chair, presuming to know what God is intending for them. Right? They're allowing for the will of God to work. Right? Allowing for the possibilities. Nothing wrong with that at all. So James chapter 4 and verse 18, that's another lesson, object lesson. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live to do and do this or that. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Both those come from a stance of you're allowing for God to do as he wills, right? We may not have the right thing in mind as we're requesting something or demanding something or wanting something. It may not coincide with God's will for us, right? Okay. So, wrapping up, getting close. How about that? Already. So, providence, knowing that God is there behind a lot of things, is what? It's a blessing to us, yes? It should be. Trusting that that's happening. Knowing that whatever God is doing in our lives is for our betterment, for our good. Have we suffered? Have we suffered need to the point where we're not being fed and taken care of? I've had some close calls, but I've never been without. Okay. But as Matthew 6:33 tells us, we need to seek first his kingdom. We got to study. We got to understand his will a little bit better so that we're not ignorant. We understand what God's will is. We can ask the right questions. We can have the right requests. We can do things according to God's will and not just our own, right? Leave room for God's will to work in your life, right? Okay. And finally, thankfulness. We need to be for everything. The good times and the bad. Isn't that what Job kind of said? We've received good from the Lord. Shall we not also receive bad? Happens. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." That's a repeat, but it's a good reminder for us, right? Absolutely. Okay, so we have choices in front of us. This is my invitation slide. This is the it. This is the end, right? We can change ourselves. We can become the good people that God wants us to be, right? Absolutely. Or we can repent. If we find ourselves straying off the path that God wants us on, we can repent, change, starting today, right? Hopefully you've heard something that helps you today. Hopefully that is what we can call the Word of God that kind of motivates you or helps you with your walk. Makes you change your mind about where you want to go. Hopefully it's a home in heaven with God for eternity. Some steps we need to make. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That belief is foundational, right? And not only that, be ready to confess him with your mouth that he is your Savior. Do that repentance. Let's make those changes we need to make and be baptized. And the last one, holding on. Being steadfast, living faithfully as God wants you to live as long as we have breath. Okay. If you fit those categories and you need our help, please don't delay. Come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation, 555.